Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're like, oh, I don't know what everyone would want to listen to, I haven't really got any opinions, I'll just whack on Christmas playlist on Spotify or whatever. It's the festive sort of equivalent of putting the charts on, I guess. So they've sort of just been doing it all day, every day. But there are just not that many Christmas songs, are there? And they all get...
Oh, no. Oh. It's true. I was having a whinge with... Because we have a Christmas album and it's all of those things that you would have been listening to for the last 3 or 4 days. And it's Band-Aid and Shaking Stevens and...
Is it by any chance this one?
Do you know, I think it might be. Has that got Driving Home for Christmas?
It has. It's got Driving Home for Christmas on. And sorry to do another Gavin and Stacey reference, but in your household, every time that comes on, do you go, turn it up, Dave, I love Chris Rea?
Obviously. Do you know, in fact, we were on the way back from London yesterday. We stopped at Lee Delamere services and Dave was like, oh, this is Uncle Bryn's favourite services.
We love Lee Delamere. We stop at Lee Delamere quite a lot, actually.
It's a shocker. Absolutely. It's
if you've made it like just out of Bath, but then you're like, oh, I really should have gone for a piss before I left, actually.
It's that. It's the emergency
isn't it? Yeah, it's the emergency one. It's disappointing how long you feel you've been in the car once you get to Lee Delamere, but you've actually only been in for like 20 minutes or something.
Welcome to episode 175 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. Hol and I are bookending this super brilliant episode with the ever wonderful Anna Harding. Because of recent running queries we've had, we talked to her about VO2 max, which I hope you're not completely bored with, and she offers the answers to everything, including why mine has suddenly increased with no apparent reason. Before and after that, we chat about festive injuries, Christmas wrapping traditions, stocking present hell, and Gavin and Stacey. Running-wise, we're knee-deep in parkrun again, so hold on to your hats. And I keep forgetting to say this, but do please sign up to be a patron of this podcast at Patreon, that's patreon.co.uk/womensrunning, because for just £2 a month, you can access our free monthly videos, our weekly newsletters, and you get to join our exclusive Pod Squad chat room where all the fun happens.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely recording now. So nothing libelous from now on. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh God. Don't know what to say. It's all my material gone.
Can I launch into this episode by telling you about an injury that I've picked up?
Oh no, this isn't very festive, is it?
Well, It kind of is. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Did you fall down a chimney or...
Oh, ho, ho, ho. I wish I had. No, I've got a knee injury, which I picked up yesterday. And the reason why I've got it is through wrapping Christmas presents.
Kneeling on the floor.
Yes.
I do all of my Christmas wrapping on the floor as well.
Ridiculous.
So I actually think that is something for all of us to watch out for this year. Why are we doing that? Why do we do it on the floor?
Because I have no table surface in order to be able to wrap presents on a table. But I did so much, and it's because I'd been away for the weekend, and I'd had a sort of a 3 o'clock in the morning panic about the fact that I hadn't wrapped much, and I've got a lot of stocking presents to wrap. So I knew that there was a good 3-4 hours worth of wrapping that needed doing. So yeah, so I was wrapping these presents upstairs and obviously bearing the brunt mostly on my left knee. And I think I've gone and given myself something like a housemaid's knee or something really stupid like that.
No. But like, what's really painful. Knee? Let's talk about that and the patriarchy.
Oh, yes. Because you don't get like valet's knee, do you? So housemaid's knee is
butler's
like...
butler's knee.
housemaid's knee, I've had it before, and it is from kneeling. It is from kneeling. So it's kind of, you know, they're thinking about like scrubbing kitchen floors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's from kneeling. And I think it's kind of basically a form of like bursitis, you know, when you sort of inflame something and, you know, something like that. So, I mean, it doesn't...
And you've run on it and it's been painful.
I've run on it and actually it's been fine. Walking is quite painful, but running has been fine. So it's...
Isn't it weird how that's the case sometimes? Sometimes running is less painful on the old whatever. Like I've had it before where maybe bursitis is exactly what it is because it just hangs about for a bit and then it goes, and then maybe I'll do something stupid again and then it comes back. And I don't think it's a particular thing. It's just behind my kneecap on my left knee a little bit. And it most often comes up if I've been running up and down the stairs loads.
Oh.
So I think it's just a bit of a like strain thing.
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot of stairs, haven't you?
I've got so many stairs, and if you've got, you know, like this time of year, maybe something arrives for us to test for the magazine, then Christmas presents arrive, then my HelloFresh turns up, then my wrapping paper, and it's just up and down all day. Plus, as many of you have heard me complain before about on the podcast, I am the designated concierge for the building. Everybody says like, oh, you can just buzz flat five and they'll get it. So, you know, it's a tough life.
Living in a mansion.
Yeah. Living in a mansion and being the concierge. Well, I would like to shout out, here's my annoyance. Yours was festive and that was great. I loved it.
Thanks.
That was the perfect entrance into this episode.
I know.
I've got a less good one, but it's equally annoying. So I don't know whether you can hear them, but special guest, we have got a special guest coming on in a bit, but special guest who's joining us right now in the studio are four builders who, as far as I'm aware, are just throwing plastic bags up and down, scaffolding at each other. They don't seem to be doing anything. I haven't heard any work noises all day. All I can hear is them doing like impressions of their girlfriends, and like, or I mean, maybe they don't even, maybe not even their girlfriend, just impressions of women and taking the piss out of each other and stuff. And I would have felt festive about it, but it's about day 3 or 4 now of them playing Christmas music all the time. And I think I hate to draw stereotypes, but 4 big burly blokes out there, one little girl called Holly in here. Who do you think would be more likely to be playing Band-Aid, Do You Know It's Christmas Time on repeat? You'd be surprised. Oh, it's really annoying me. It's made me feel anti-festive. I can't be asked for Christmas because of these guys. They've annoyed me so much.
Do they sing along to it?
Not really. They just like have it on all the time.
Oh,
like they've got no... I mean, I suppose it's the sort of go-to. It's a bit like putting your sort of like top UK top 40 on or something, isn't it? I suppose if you're like, oh, I don't know what everyone would want to listen to, I haven't really got any opinions, I'll just whack on Christmas playlist on Spotify or whatever. It's the festive sort of equivalent of putting the charts on, I guess. So they've sort of just been doing it all day, every day. But there are just not that many Christmas songs, are there? And they all get...
Oh, no. Oh. It's true. I was having a whinge with... Because we have a Christmas album and it's all of those things that you would have been listening to for the last 3 or 4 days. And it's Band-Aid and Shaking Stevens and...
Is it by any chance this one?
Do you know, I think it might be. Has that got Driving Home for Christmas?
It has. It's got Driving Home for Christmas on. And sorry to do another Gavin and Stacey reference, but in your household, every time that comes on, do you go, turn it up, Dave, I love Chris Rea?
obviously. Do you know, in fact, we were on the way back from London yesterday. We stopped at Lee Delamere services and Dave was like, oh, this is Uncle Bryn's favourite services.
We love Lee Delamere. We stop at Lee Delamere quite a lot, actually.
It's a shocker. Absolutely. It's
if you've made it like just out of Bath, but then you're like, oh, I really should have gone for a piss before I left, actually.
It's that. It's the emergency
it's
one,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's the emergency one. It's disappointing how long you feel you've been in the car once you get to Lee Delamere, but you've actually only been in for like 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we'd pass like 3 service stations in the hope for a McDonald's, and they were all Burger King. And we got to Lee Delamere, we knew it was the last one. It's like, sorry, kids, gonna have to go, even though it is a Burger King. And they went, and no one wanted any of the food. It was such bad stuff. It's a horrid. No. It's so not Gloucester services, isn't it? I was like, when is that franchise gonna expand across the
Gloucester
whole
services
of the UK?
Is incredible. However. Can I say something controversial? Gloucester Services is not the services that you want to... it's actually not my favourite services, because it's not where you want to end up if you're hungover or it's late at night and you're travelling home, because all you can do is like sit down and have beef bourguignon or something. And it's like, no, I actually just want a McDonald's really badly. Or I want Monster Munch. Like, where's a branded packet of crisps that's not like... their home popped kettle chips or something. Like, I just want shit, and there's no shit. It's impossible to get shit at Gloucester Services.
You can't get shit. No. But you can get lots of
the swans eat better than most people in most service stations. Oh, but we hardly ever get to stop at Gloucester Services, and I promise, dear listener, this is... Mm-hmm. We will wrap up the service station conversation soon.
We shouldn't we?
But we never get to go there, because it's like, it's obviously it's Gloucester, and then my parents are in Cheltenham. So if we are on the M5, then it's, you know, it feels a bit pointless to stop at Gloucester. It's a bit Lee Delamere, you know. It's like, well, we've not come far enough to warrant this.
No, I know, it's true. But the reason why I was going to talk about that was because I was talking about it because of Bryn, but also of that Christmas album. We have exactly the same one, and it is on vinyl too, so we have that and we play that. Mm-hmm. And after that, we played it over and over and over and over again as we were decorating the Christmas tree, until I said, have we not got anything more, like more classical? Can we have something choral? But the only other thing that we've got Christmassy is because Dave used to be in a choir when he was a boy, and we've got a record of him singing in his choir, singing sort of little carols and things like that. So it was all a bit Once in Royal
David
City.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Oh, lovely. So you had Mary's boy child himself.
Indeed.
Regaling you. Oh, I love that. That's really nice. Yeah, I also was a choir girl, doing a bit of a Once in Royal, etc. And I think somewhere there should be a choir CD thing of our Christmas music, but I've got absolutely no idea where it's gone. So we also just have the now. Oh, it's now. That's what I call Christmas. That's what it is.
That's what it
but
is.
But yeah, it does
That's
surprise it me that considering, I mean, this is, we're the same. It is a vinyl copy. So maybe there's not so much space for as much music on there. But it shocks me that it's 12. The track list, we're talking 12 tracks. that's not enough. That's not enough for them to become incredibly, like, please give me a lobotomy immediately.
And it's very quickly that happens, isn't it? Like, I'm at the first time every year, the first time I hear Shakin' Stevens, I'm like, yes, this is the best Christmas song, right?
Let's go! Flipping coffee tables, snow is falling all around me. And then second play, and it's like, oh, hey.
Yeah, nice. I can do the hip bump in time to the last little bit. Yeah, whatever. And then third time,
third time, it's like, okay. Yeah. And then, it really is. Can I please have a brain removal? That's reminded me of a confession that I want to make. I did this is a manic episode already, and I promise we have got some content planned for you in a minute. But
we do.
I told you before that I've become a bit of an ASMR girl.
Yes.
Yeah. I did a meditation thing the other day. There was like an ASMR one, and it was this woman who was pretending to be an alien. I can't believe I'm telling everyone about this.
What is this?
And she was pretending with ASMR noises to take your brain out, smoothen it all out, so it's just like a smooth brain, and put it back in so that you haven't got any worries or sort of complex thought patterns.
That doesn't sound good.
I loved it. It was so relaxing, but it was really weird. And I did have a few moments where I was like, please no one walk in on this. Please no one think that. But it's just like a woman who sits there and she goes like, now we're going to remove your brain. And then like she'll make like the peeling noise of like them taking your top of your head off or whatever.
That is not good. No. That is not good. Now we're going to remove. That sounds incredibly creepy, absolutely terrifying. And if you're talking about peeling heads apart and getting brains out in order to give you some sort of lobotomy, why is that good?
I have no idea, but it was the most relaxed I've been in years.
I don't want my brain smoothed.
I have no idea. I am embarrassed. I shouldn't have brought it up.
No, you should have brought it up. I mean, it's bonkers though. I just don't understand why it's relaxing. Yes, vote.
Write in. Would you like to be lobotomized this Christmas?
How is the rest of your Christmas planning going? Because we've got like a few minutes and then we've got Anna coming to join us. Anna Harding.
I know,
got
thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Anna will talk some sense in a minute. My Christmas planning is going okay. I've got a big list and I've just called it, it's called Bloody Fucking Christmas. That's my list name.
Good.
And you can see here from my general, from my general tickings off, there's very few things left on there.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased with how it's going. I'm going to do some present wrapping tonight, but it is all go and completely bonkers. I don't know about you, I presume not, because I guess you've probably got your 47th nativity of the year to attend. But I'm going to the Christmas, we've got a Christmas drinks thing at our new office space tonight. And then I'm going to come home, cook something in about 4 seconds flat, and then Doug and I are going to sit back to back and wrap our presents. That's one of our traditions.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's really nice. So you can share
it's
the
quite
sellotape.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yes, you can share the sellotape and you can still have a little chin wag and maybe put Muppet's Christmas Carol or something on while you're wrapping. But
you can
wrap each other's presents without ruining anything. Great. I love it. I really love present wrapping. I get really into it, which I think is kind of counterintuitive to how you might think I would be, because I'm not really a very sort of sensible, organized person, but I'm not a very type A person, I suppose, but I get very type A about my Christmas presents. I like to wrap them perfectly, and I get the glue gun out and I stick random bits of foliage on them and stuff like that.
I love that about you. And I'd love to be that person. I never really have enough time to do kind of extra wrapping. But back in the day, pre-kids, I would theme it. And I, that was the bit that I get really excited about. And I'd be quite early with that. I'd be like October, getting the theme. Am I going to do black and purple, you know, to do something kind of dramatic?
Or,
you know, I love doing that.
Yeah.
These days, I just do brown wrapping paper, sometimes with a bit of a print on it, and string sort of stuff to make sure that it gets recycled, even though sometimes it doesn't.
So do I. That's why I love it, because then you can be even more creative, because if your backdrop is just brown paper,
then you can do all sorts. Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I love it. But my tradition is like rapping badly while leaning on my knees while Dave's working at his computer, and he will do his rapping traditionally Christmas Eve in a rush and annoy everyone because we'll be late down to watch the Christmas movie because he's just upstairs kind of covered in sellotape in some kind of ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you, having kids, and you're talking about having lots of stocking bits to wrap. I'm impressed at how ahead of time you are, because I definitely remember that as a bit of a tradition. And insert thing here about Father Christmas warning, if anyone's children are in the background, that I remember my parents wrapping manically into the night on Christmas Eve. And it was almost a tradition. They would get absolutely shit-faced and stuff a stocking full of badly wrapped things. And there even came a year, as we started to get a bit older, that my mum went, sorry, my darlings, I'm not bothering with this anymore. And now she just now we don't have stockings, but before then she just shoved unwrapped bits in and was like, I'm not wrapping, you know, a pencil and a deodorant or whatever. So
yeah, there's a lot of wrapping, but we have reduced in terms of the number, because I would do a stocking for whoever was here at Christmas, which gets out of hand very, very rapidly. But so now it's just the kids.
So expensive. Mm-hmm.
And because I worry about it so much, I start that shopping is the one that I will start over the summer. Thinking about little bit, if I see little bits while we're on holiday or whatever. But it means that by December, I've completely forgotten what I've bought. And I've usually bought two of some things. There's a lot of chocolate coins. Like, I've got too many things. I just try and prep as much as I can in advance, because that bit is just hellish.
Yeah.
Just awful. Yeah.
Agreed. I think you're completely right about the thing of like forgetting as well. It's like the balance of, you don't want to leave all your Christmas shopping until November, December. But when I do buy things in further advance, then I do complete, like chocolate coins is always one that I'll just like find a few rogue bags of that I was supposed to shove in people's presents, you know, in February while I'm tidying up or something. Found a present for my dog, my parents' dog, but our family dog, the other day, which I was elated about because I didn't realize I'd already sorted her out a big fluffy ladybird with a plastic water bottle inside, which she'll absolutely love. Yeah, she honestly, so excited for her to have that. So it is luckily I found that before Christmas, but I completely forgotten that it existed. And so often you do end up with like random stuff that you forgot even existed.
I know. And then also, if you purchase things too far in advance, and you've reminded me that about the dog thing, is that I've bought in the past, I mean, I was never to know, but I've bought dog themed presents for friends that have a dog. And then the dog died. So then I'm left with, I still upstairs, and this is from like 2 years ago, I think, I've got like a dog themed something or other and some dog themed somethings. And they're all wrapped and labeled, but obviously I couldn't give them. So I had to go and find some other presents. And then I was like, I've run out of dog friends now. I don't know who to give this to.
Oh no. So they weren't personalized.
They weren't personalised. No, it wasn't that bad. But it would definitely. I think it was because it had a picture of a specific dog, so I couldn't then give it to someone that then had like a different kind.
Has a spaniel, and then you get them a St. Bernard bowl or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bit random.
Oh, the trauma. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this is the perfect moment, isn't it? The perfect segue to start talking about running, isn't it, I reckon?
I reckon it is. And you know what? It's not as weird as we think, because we are about to welcome Anna Harding. Oh,
we are.
Sorry. Do you mean talk about running, our own running? Or did you mean
talk to
Anna?
No one wants to hear about us and our running today.
Good. Let's welcome Anna. and her dog, Ralph, who is joining us for the second time on the pod. And that's how you do a segue, baby.
This is a very good time to subscribe to Women's Running or think about giving a gift subscription for that big date in December you might be thinking about. Because right now, when you subscribe, as well as receiving the best magazine in the world, you'll also get a free exclusive Women's Running technical tee worth £35. It's beautiful, it's blue, and it says Happy Running on the back to help motivate you and your brilliant running buddies too. Just go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk/become a member and enter X23WRPOD, that's pod, at the checkout for your free tea. And please remember to send us a pic of you wearing it.
It's all fine.
We were thinking of genuinely doing a technical difficulties jingle because of the amount of times that we end up with them.
Isn't that like a Louis Theroux thing? Doesn't he do that? I'm pretty sure at the beginning of his podcast, he does think like you get all the kind of chat about, can I hear you? Can you, where have you got? Oh, all
he
of that
does
kind of stuff.
That at the beginning, but I don't think he's got a jingle. So I think that's still safe from Theroux. We can still do that.
Fine.
And we're not infringing anybody's
should we start this all over again?
Let's do it. For the listener, welcome again, Anna Harding, to the podcast, because as usual, we messed a load of stuff up. But
yeah,
it still very much stands and the enthusiasm remains just as intense as it was before that we're so excited to have you back.
We are.
I feel like, mm-hmm. Yeah, are you sure? I feel like you've had enough of me by now.
No, we definitely haven't. We definitely haven't. I'm so sorry. It's all of our technical difficulties has meant that you've just been sat there for 20 minutes while we've been looking at your lovely Christmas tree and not getting the microphones right. But, you know, hopefully now we've got them right.
It's been a good 20 minutes. So I managed to drink my tea. I always make myself a cup of tea when I'm going to do a podcast, which is stupid because I'm talking, so I can't drink it. So
I do the same, and then I end up having to take little sips away from the microphone.
Yeah.
otherwise, Dave will tell me off. I have been told off before for my sniffs.
Oh yeah.
So now I make a conscious effort to try and sniff away from Mike now if I'm going to sniff. But I never realised how sniffy
I get told off for. Yeah, no, I get told off for laughing like this. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. I need to laugh here, not there.
Oh, we have to laugh into the mic. Yeah, we actually had a question once from a listener saying, do you silent laugh? And we had to explain, no, that it is just that we laugh so loudly that the microphone kind of cuts us off. Yeah.
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 We cackle, essentially. Oh, anyway, look, thank you so much for joining us again on the podcast. And we wanted to get you here because you have all the answers to all the questions that we've got. And, you know, it's Christmas and we wanted to see your lovely face. You do have all the answers.
You do. I was going to say, she's looking a little abashed at that comment. But in fact, Anna, you've already proven that you know the answer to one of the questions we're going to ask you today. But we'll leave people in suspense for a bit longer. What's about he? What that is.
Well, thank you so much for having me anyway. And also, it's really lovely to see both of your faces on a screen this time because I did get to see you in real life internationally just a month ago.
I can't believe that was a month ago.
Just over now, yeah.
And honestly, seeing your face, so we saw Anna in New York and Anna was doing, the first time we saw you, you were doing the race briefing in the hotel, weren't you? And there were loads and loads of runners there and it was sort of early-ish in the morning and it was the day after we'd got there and we were feeling really sort of discombobulated and really sort of like, oh, New York, what do we do? Mm. You know, and also we'd only just realised how bad the loos were everywhere. So we had all of that kind of concern. And then to see your face, oh, I have never been so happy. Never been so happy.
Actually, Anna, can we please get your opinion on this? Because we've been talking about this for weeks on the pod and some of the listeners have written in. What did you think? What do you think about US lose?
US lose. I think they're very hit and miss. I think if you go to the wrong place, you get the wrong loo, for sure.
Yeah.
And also, what put me off a lot in New York is in every single toilet within an establishment is a sign that says all employees must wash their hands before they go back to work by law or something like that. And I was like, why is this by law? Why is this not by common sense and like public decency and just general personal hygiene? Who is not washing their hands before they go back to work? And please don't serve me if it's you.
I was going to say, no, please, please not in a subway. Please not in a,
Do you think that's got something to do with like, you know, because you know, the US is famously litigious and stuff like that. And they love a good suing and they like things being law so that they can tell people off about it. Do you reckon it's to do it? Because why would you make that law? That's very strange. No, I mean, isn't
it might be fake news, the by law bit, but it did feel like it came across that way, that it was like by law. And I was like, who's not washing their hands?
But also, even though 100% everybody should be doing that, who's calling the police on someone for not?
Who's not?
Who's catching someone walk out of the loo with dry hands?
I would do that.
Yeah, let me touch those. Are they wet? Are they damp?
Because the NYPD FBI. Definitely don't have better things to do with their time.
Officer, we've got another report of somebody with dry hands leaving the toilet over here. We just really, really struggled with trying to find a private place, and we will move on from Lou's, but this was honestly just after we saw you for the first time, Anna, after that race briefing. We'd had a couple of coffees. We were absolutely exhausted. Esther and I were sharing a room, and we have now become comfortable enough that we will say, put music on, because you know what I'm about to do. But when we were a bit anxious, we hadn't managed to sort of successfully do that at that point.
Yeah.
And so I was so desperately trying to find somewhere in that Westin hotel that we could go to the loo.
Mm.
And every single loo door has slats that you can see through. And it was bizarre.
Oh, yeah. I did not realise.
Big gaps at the bottom, big gaps. So you can see people's knees. Do you know what I mean?
Pretty much really see to the
nasty.
Knees.
No. Fun. Oh, that's not good.
And you know what it's like pre-marathon as well. You need to find a secure, happy, safe space in order to do your four panic poos before you go, right?
Yeah.
So,
The very, very prestigious and important PRPs.
Yeah.
Yes. Safe poos.
Yes.
This is why we bring her on the pod. For gold, like PRPs.
Well, I feel like I do talk about poo a little bit too much. That is rank, isn't it?
But welcome. Hey, welcome to the Women's Running
Get an
podcast,
ultra runner on talking about running. We're going to talk about poo, aren't we? Sorry if you're eating your breakfast.
Don't. Do you know, I saw something the other day. Someone was talking about an ultra that they'd been running, and I'm trying to remember who it was now, and I can't, but they were talking about pooing into a bag.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would take dog poo bags with me to pick up from the trail, but they're also like on the spine race, the mandatory kit has like a poo shovel. So you have to like dig down and bury your poo.
Yeah, Sabrina Pace Humphreys told us about that. And I remember she brought the shovel to demonstrate.
Mm. Yeah. Did she demonstrate the entire?
Luckily, we were spared the full demonstration.
Okay. There you go. Anyway, well, so probably best to move on from that, isn't it?
not in a pointed way, but so yeah, let's. Esther, I am intrigued because I know that you wanted to bring Anna on specifically. Shall we cut to the not very Christmassy bit first, and then we can get festive a bit later?
Yes,
because
absolutely.
So I know you want to pick her brains. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I had some burning questions. So one of the main reasons we wanted to get you on here, apart from the fact that it's so lovely to see your lovely face, is because. If anyone has listened to the couple of last episodes that we've done, I have been struggling with understanding what the actual hell my VO2 max is doing. And in struggling to understand it, I've realized that I have not listened to any information that you have previously told us about what VO2 max is and how it's calculated and what's going on. So if I can just set the scene, my VO2 max has been exactly the same for, I think, 3 years, maybe 2.5 years, something like that. Occasionally it's been a little bit higher, but it's it usually only just sort of peaks up and comes back down again. But mostly it's just been exactly the same for, a couple of years, I think. And no matter what I do, even if the training that I've done is reflected on my Garmin as being VO2 max training, which happened a couple of times before the New York Marathon when I was in that training block. And so my training included all those horrible kind of interval training and nasty things, which I really hated and but did, because I was told that I should do them, and I am nothing if not dutiful. Yes, so I just felt like I should. So I did all of those things. It did nothing to my VO2 max, and I ended up not giving two shits about it. Really, I just thought, well, okay, it's just another stat, and I'm not going to bother about it. But 3 weeks after the New York Marathon, when all my running, I had a week off, and then I had 3 weeks of just pounding, just
easy runs,
very super simple easy ride runs. Yeah, nothing
plodding
more than
I'd 10K. Go with Esther there. That was veering into slightly territory, I reckon. Then
what did I say? Pounding.
You said I had 3 weeks of pounding.
Holly,
I'm so sorry.
You picked up on that.
I know. I'm so sorry. I wasn't going to say anything, and then I was like, if anyone's outrageous. Watching the video of this, they're going to see me laugh at that. So there you go.
Oh my god! 3 weeks of plodding. Did you see that? Carry on. 3 weeks of plodding, not pounding. That's just, that makes me just think. I did watch a Carry On documentary the other day. Pavement. I mean,
there you go. It was
concerning, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. I'll move away.
Yeah. Apologies for dirtying the minds of the listeners there, because maybe that wasn't what everybody thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed. Filth. I've basically just been doing nothing more than 10k, just like 5k, boring kind of nothing to bother anything about. And then suddenly my VO2 max went up by 1 point, and I don't know why. Can you help, please? Can you tell me what VO2 max is and how and why it's important? I think maybe first. And then you know,
I mean, so to go super super basic, for VO2 max, we're going to literally strip it back to what does VO2 max mean, right? So V is volume.
Yeah.
O2 is oxygen.
Yeah.
And max is maximum. Mm-hmm. So it's the maximum amount of oxygen that your body can use per kilogram of body weight per minute.
Oh, right? Okay.
Okay, that's actually very, very helpful. And Anna, you are explaining this to two idiots. So don't worry, you can go as slow as possible. That was perfect.
I didn't know it was to do with body weight. Right, okay.
So it does have something to do with body weight too. So we'll come on to that in a bit about like how it's measured and stuff. So it's measured, it's...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millimeters per kilogram per minute. Milliliters per kilogram per minute. So it's like if it was a formula, it'd be like ml/kg/min.
Okay. Got you. Okay, okay.
So it's to do with the oxygen that's being delivered to your muscles while you exercise, which your body needs in order, because, you know, your blood's pumping harder during exercise. As we know, your heart rate increases, your blood's pumping harder. And so that blood is pumping hard to get the oxygen to your muscles, because your lungs then absorb it, right, stay with me, and turns into energy, which is known as ATP.
Right? Okay. What does that stand for?
So ATP is adenosine triphosphate. Oh. Yeah, you don't need to know that.
Okay, okay.
It's like a thing that happens in your body. So isn't the body amazing? Like there's so many things that are going on inside your body that you're just like, I never knew that was happening before.
I know. Well, I mean, my anxiety likes to try and keep tabs on all of them at all times, but... it's good. This is all very good for reminding me that some stuff you just really don't need to know or think about.
Yeah. No, well, exactly. Yeah, don't think about it. Otherwise, your mind will literally go, poo. Yeah. So basically, the ATP is the stuff that powers your cells. And then when that's pumping, it then releases the carbon dioxide that you create during respiration. So we all know we breathe in oxygen, we breathe out carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you go over your VO2 max is when your body starts using anaerobic energy systems. So VO2 max comes, sits just underneath like anaerobic exercise.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's why you were saying, Esther, like some of your workouts were labeled VO2 max or whatever. That's because they're just under that anaerobic threshold.
Right. Okay.
And so that anaerobic stuff is the sort of stuff that like, that sprinters will use, or like that really fast, hard, short bursts of exercise. You can't use your anaerobic energy systems for prolonged periods of time. It's just short bursts.
So yeah. If I had a run that was described as being threshold, is that faster or slower than VO2 max?
Than VO2 max. So threshold is around your VO2 max level.
Oh, okay. What's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Why would it? Why would it categorize those differently?
It's basically the same. Okay. Basically the same. Obviously, you're talking about when your watch tells you whether it's like threshold or VO2 max.
Yes.
So, yeah, it is basically the same.
Okay.
Sometimes it just likes to use a different word for funsies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
VO2 max basically is. In a watch sense, is that score that you were talking about, Esther, as well. And so that score is worked out using various pieces of information about you. And on your smartwatch, on your Garmin, whatever it is that you're using, it's done slightly differently throughout all of the different brands. Mm-hmm. But it can be down to things like obviously, type of training you're doing, your heart rate during your training, which is why if you're doing trail running, for a Garmin specifically, you should set it to a trail run when you go out for a trail run, because it won't affect your VO2 max, because you'll find that your pace might be a bit slower you're doing a trail run. And it might then bring your VO2 max down. So you can set it to be a trail run so it doesn't have any impact on that VO2 max score if you're really sort of worried about.
Actually makes sense for something that I did. I was miserable because my VO2 max went down like 2 points after it, and I was really, really sad. But it was like a gym class or something, and I didn't select a specific activity. I just was wearing my Garmin and I just did it. And then afterwards, it was like, poor, and then minus a certain amount of VO2 max points. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It must be because I didn't. So that's very, very useful to know that different activities will account for that effect on VO2 max in different ways.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Gender. So there are different sort of levels and like scales for men and women on VO2 Max. So it's not like, you know, if you've got a score of whatever and someone in your life who's a man has got a score of whatever, they're actually not really that comparable because we're physiologically very different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's nice to know.
And so, yeah, there are different sort of charts that you can see where your VO2 max score kind of sits, if you're bothered. Like, again, it's just a metric that some people don't care about. It's a number. Mm-hmm. But the other thing as well is age. And I wonder, Esther, did you get older after New York Marathon? Did you have a birthday? I know you got older.
I did.
Did you?
But the thing is, my birthday was just before. So, but it did straddle. But yeah, I did. I turned 50 in October. So is that why it's changed?
So you will now be in a new VO2 max bracket on Garmin. So Garmin does it. So again, like I say, like different brands will use different stuff, but Garmin's does it in 5-year chunks. So yeah. You've got 45 to 49 and then you get into the 50 to 54 bracket. So you're at the younger end of that bracket, which means that for that
I like
grouping,
being at the younger end. Yeah.
Your VO2 max is obviously good. And so, yeah, I can imagine that if it's not a running thing, if it's not that you've been doing specific workouts or different runs or whatever, and you've actually been in like a detraining recovery state.
Yeah.
The only thing really that's changed has been your age that Garmin knows about as well. Because obviously you put your birth date, your date of birth in when you set it up.
Oh, that's so clever. So
maybe it's your age.
It's gotta
maybe
be.
Maybe it's me bloody age. Oh my God.
Yeah, you've entered winter fuel allowance Garmin levels. Sorry, that was horrid.
My jokes are horrid today. Very sad. Very sad.
I know. I need to stop talking on the podcast today.
Do I though? Do I get winter fuel allowance? That's worth checking.
No, I don't. I don't.
I know. I don't drink that. Something to aim for,
yet.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You don't get a bus pass either. I think that's 60. You've got a while.
I think it's 65. Is it?
Yeah, I think it is. It does depend where you live, but yeah. But that's really interesting because there were like loads of people that suggested that it was to do with recovery, which I don't think was a bad shout at all. It, like that, like they were sort of saying, maybe you weren't recovering enough while you were doing all the training. And because I trained for sort of 3 marathons on the trot, like 6 months, that maybe I was just like exhausted and having this time has been really quite nice to just sort of, to pound.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was maybe it was a bit of a combo.
Stop it.
Maybe it was a bit of a combo because I guess if your birthday was just before the New York Marathon, am I right in thinking, Anna, that maybe that would have automatically changed your VO2 max? So maybe the fact that it didn't automatically change suggests that there was also something to do with the fact that
there was fatigue.
Yeah. And that you did that recovery.
Yeah, there was tiredness in there, So, yeah, it's probably a combination of the both, in a way.
Ah, bloody age. It accounts for so much, doesn't it? I am so furious about being 50. But
don't
not
be, Anna and I.
Point if, on my VO2 max.
Exactly. There are always silver linings.
Exactly.
And not that it matters, not that any of that matters. But if you overheard me and Anna slagging you off before you were able to... Esther for a bit was...
Bastards.
Couldn't see or... Well, could see or hear us, but we couldn't see or hear her. And we were just talking about the fact that nobody in their right mind would believe that you are 50.
No. Because I was sneakily like, Holly, how old is she? Just so they can have a look on the VO2 max chart. And then, yeah, when you told me, I was like, oh, but also now that does make a lot of sense because you are in that new bracket. Because if you were like, if it was your birthday and you were 48, say, I wouldn't think that it was down to age because you're not in a new bracket. But because it's put you in a new bracket, it's got to be down to that.
You know, and so
also,
go on, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, if people are listening and they're like, I want to improve my VO2 max and I've been stuck for ages on the same thing, because that's another side to it as well, is that, you know, your VO2 max has sort of hovered around the same number for quite a long time anyway, and it's only your age that's then bumped it up into the next one.
Yeah, I know.
What's really important is that a lot of the VO2 max score is actually down to genetics. So some people will only be able to improve or increase their VO2 max by a certain percentage before they're actually at their max VO2 max.
Yeah.
And they won't be able to get it any higher because they're just not genetically predisposed to being able to get it any higher.
I had a nice email from a listener saying something along those lines, actually, Anna. Yeah, because in the same episode that we were trying to get to the bottom of Esther's VO2 max mystery. God. This podcast is so exciting.
I know.
I was saying that I always feel I've stopped looking at mine because I just found that it was making me feel a bit sad. And somebody did email in and say that, yeah, along those lines, that like there are certain things that you can't really change about it. So don't get too caught up in it.
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely not. I mean, obviously being consistent, we always like being consistent is just the key to running full stop, isn't it? But consistency, because VO2 max is an indication of like your cardiovascular fitness, your aerobic system, being consistent with your running will help with increasing your VO2 max. But then also just mixing up your training and doing different sessions. So doing things like hill repeats or sprints or whatever, and just giving a different training stimulus is going to improve that VO2 max score to a point, let's say, to a point.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Very interesting. But I love the fact that you're talking about consistency, because I think that brings us on probably to the next chapter. So do you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to say bye-bye to Anna, and then I'm going to say hello to her again. What do you reckon, Hol? So
that sounds perfect.
Should we do that?
Through the magic of technology, we will do this. Yeah. Anyway.
Ha-ha.
We're back.
Ha-ha.
Yay. Woohoo. Okay. Oh, lovely, lovely Anna.
Isn't she a star?
She's amazing. And we get to have her next week as well, which is really nice. We had some more questions for her. So we've got another slice of Anna Harding next week, which is the episode between Christmas and New Year when everyone wants a slice of Anna, to be honest. So
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be brilliant. We have actually been organized and treated everybody to guests that actually have the answers to questions that we haven't known in recent episodes.
Ooh, that's
this year.
All the questions, isn't it?
Yeah. Happy Christmas to you guys, because we've actually got some content for you.
Yeah. Heaven forbid anyone would ask a specific question unless it was about how to wrap a sphere or, you know, that kind of thing. That's the sort of thing that we know right now, isn't it?
Yeah, quick question actually on that, because this is Christmas special season. Mastermind, what would be your specialist subject?
Oh.
Is that evil to ask you on the spot?
What would be my specialist subject? What do I know? I don't think I know anything. What do you know?
So much stuff.
My
specialist subject would, of course, be past contestants of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about it a lot.
Then if we're doing TV, maybe the first four series of West Wing. But then, to be honest, following. That sounds too intellectual for me, actually, to be honest. Then it might have to be also EastEnders from 1987 to 1991.
Perfect. Love how specialist that is.
First three series of Bluey, obviously. Back to back.
Yeah, I'm on my way to joining you. I'm embarrassed at how much Bluey I've watched. I can't remember whether we talked about this in our New York episode.
We did, though.
I watched Bluey on the plane because I wanted to feel calm and relaxed, and Esther has talked often about how brilliant Bluey is, and it was on there. They had like 5 episodes on there, so I was like, amazing, what else have I got to do? I'll watch Bluey. Before I know it, weeping and never the same, life is never the same again. And then since, I've shown episodes to Doug, and he has absolutely loved it. Caught him the other day. I put it on in the background while I was cleaning. and then I caught him just like standing in the doorway, just like mouth agog, just like watching it gormlessly when he thought no one was looking. And did you know that there's also a Bluey video game that's been brought out?
I did not know that.
It looks amazing. And Doug turned to me a few days ago and he went, shall we buy that for our niece? But the rule is that she's only allowed to play it with us, so we keep it.
I think that is a very good idea. Yeah.
We're such Bluey converts in this house, and we don't have a child, I stress.
Well, I mean, I can feel that.
Embarrassing.
I don't think it's, well, I was in John Lewis at the weekend panic buying, and there was a stand, a Bluey stand of merch, and the kids are too old now for me to buy them pencil cases and pencils and, you know, weird rulers and stuff with pictures of Bandit and Bluey and Bingo on them.
No, because their people in school won't think it's cool anymore because they're too grown up for it. But then they'll grow up and realize it's cool again because
it is. Yes, I know. So I genuinely did stand there for a little bit thinking, well, maybe I should just get it for me.
Yeah.
I'd quite like that's what I've done, Esther. For me. Yeah.
The first time I put an episode on at home on my own, I was like, whoa, I mean, this is a low point. And then I reframed it in my mind and I was like, or I'm just a grown woman enjoying what she enjoys and I don't need an excuse. I just relate so heavily to what's the name of the little... Bingo. I relate so heavily to Bingo in every aspect of my life that sometimes I just need to feel seen in that way.
I love her so much. I also really, really love the cousin. Is it Muffin?
Oh, who's just like a little bit crazy. Off her tits all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
But how much do you fancy Bandit? That's the question.
Yeah, the dad is hot.
I know, right? as blue dogs go, I mean, you know, he's
hot. Yeah. Okay, write in, let us know. Who's your biggest crush in Bluey? Who's your biggest cartoon character crush? Because also Robin Hood the Fox springs to mind.
I mean, yes, absolutely. He is like he is the Errol Flynn, obviously, of cartoons. Yep, super hot.
For sure. Kim Possible. I don't know about any. Was that, that may have completely evaded your, because yeah,
no
that
idea
would
who
have
that
been
is.
When I was growing up, Kim Possible was unbearably hot. She's so hot. Looking back, she was extremely hot.
I think there may have been a sort of a secret yearning for Banana Man when I was growing up. I think definitely.
Oh, I think I've seen pictures of Banana Man. I wouldn't have necessarily thought he'd be your type.
He's quite hench. I mean,
Oh my God, he is.
Yeah. And also stupid. So it was Cam. That kind of sweet mix of being stupid and fit. Yeah, I like that.
There's also a character called Banana Man from the more modern cartoon series Adventure Time, which my sister was a big fan of growing up and is again, another one so fun to watch as an adult. And I don't think you would be saying this about this Banana Man. I'm going to show you a picture of him. He's a little blob man with a banana skin on his head. He's very cute.
He's very cute. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm actually fascinated by people's cartoon character crushes as well. Go on, write in. We've got nothing else to do at the moment. It's the...
We have.
About to be Christmas when we're recording this one.
It is. Yeah. And we were going to talk about lots of stuff, weren't we? Well, I say lots of stuff. There was one big theme we were going to talk about just after Anna, because we wanted to stick on running Even though we've talked about cartoon characters, which is obviously far more important. But big hot topic that we've been talking about for the past few weeks has been Parkrun. And we've come to the realization that whenever we mention the name Parkrun, that it does engender a passion and a response.
Yeah.
Which is great because we hear a lot from you guys. But also it does make us sit there and sort of think to ourselves, you know what, maybe we're not, like maybe our opinions aren't the opinions of everybody in the whole world, which is always a bit of a shock.
No.
You've been looking at some, haven't we got some emails that we can...
We've got some emails, we've got some messages mm-hmm. on Discord. I don't even know where uh-huh. to begin. Honestly, it really is, like you were saying, it's like, I don't know, it's like Voldemort or something. If we say the name, then
Candyman, yeah,
everyone starts kicking off. But it's been very, very interesting, and somehow it says my HelloFresh has just arrived, even though I didn't answer the door. Oh well, hopefully someone did. Yeah. Apologies for the chaos of this episode. Let's go and let's be professional and let's talk about Parkrun.
Let's do it.
I'm going to start on Discord here.
Okay.
And I do think that it is worth reading this one. Because this is somebody who has clearly got a lot of experience. This is from Jen. Mm-hmm. And she... So if you are like, what the hell are they talking about? Discord is our like group chat that we've got with the Pod Squad on Discord. That's the name of the app.
Yeah.
But you have to join Patreon in order to be a part of it. So do join. You can do that for, I think it's as little as like £2 a month, isn't it?
£2, that's it. Yeah,
and I would say it is highly, highly advisable, even just for our little group chat, because it pops off all the time and it's great.
It does. It really does. And in this instance, particularly. Yeah.
Yes, in this instance, particularly. I like to read it in the bath.
There we go.
So I hope you all think of that next time you send a message into it. This is from Jen, and she said, "Hi, Holly and Esther. I was really interested in your parkrun chat. I'm a slow runner. My average parkrun time is around 37 minutes, but I found I couldn't relate to your worries about parkrun. The times don't bother me. I've got used to being in the back of the pack. I'm quite an introverted person, but I like the community at parkrun. I also really enjoy the opportunity to run in different places when I go on holiday without having to think about a route." An excellent point that I think we did mention last time. "I'm now mm-hmm. a run director at my local event, which is quite a small one, averaging between 50 to 60 participants a week. I don't know if the size makes it feel friendlier or if that would put you off more." That is, I think, I wouldn't be rushing to join another park run that was 50 to 60, because that was what put me off a little bit. And I know it's so pathetic, because here I am, not listening to my own words of advice, because we sit here on this pod all the time and we say, don't wear coming last as a badge of honor, but there is something that feels much more exposed about a smaller amount of participants. And that was my experience that put me off a little bit when we were in Bath, because that was quite a small crowd.
We had a small crowd that time. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So she says, "Obviously you get rude people there, just like everywhere, but generally I find park runners to be friendly and encouraging. I would encourage any of the Pod Squad to give Parkrun a go and see if it's for them. I'm also really interested in hearing other people's experiences, good and bad." And she does say thank you for making a great podcast and opening up the discussion. So we shouldn't be hurt if she doesn't agree.
No.
Thanks, Jenny.
And I'm not hurt, because I think I personally don't feel like we were criticizing Parkrun full stop. I don't feel like we were doing that at all.
No.
I think what we were just suggesting.
You certainly weren't.
Oh yeah, you might have been. I think what we were suggesting was that at times it can feel too competitive, or competitive full stop. It can just feel it can feel pressured, like a pressured environment. As much as it is an inclusive one, it can feel pressured if that's not what you're going for, and if that's not what you expect. Like, you might turn up to a parkrun for the first ever time and think to yourself that it won't be like that. And I think that for us, in our particular parkrun, it has occasionally come as a bit of a surprise. But I do appreciate the fact that a lot of that expectation And a lot of that feeling comes from within. It's not about anyone that 100%. Works at Parkrun. So it's not to do with the organisers. It's not to do with the volunteers. It's not even to do with the other runners. It's to do with me and you running along and thinking, oh God, all these people are going very fast, aren't they? And I don't like the email I get, and, you know, don't like being able to, don't want to compete against other people, don't even want, particularly want to compete against myself. Just want to go for a run where other people are running and not think about the route. It's just that.
Right. I think I just exposed myself anyway by saying that I felt as though that there was a part of me that knew it was ridiculous to care about coming last or to be compared to other people. Because I know that some of that does come from, like, that's a me problem, not a parkrun problem. But we are also talking about creating spaces where people of all walks of life can feel comfortable. And because exercise can be such a sensitive topic for so many of us, I do think that it is worth bearing in mind you and can I think, make things feel non-competitive for those who don't want to participate in the competitiveness.
Yes, I think that's really, really sensible. And I also think like if you've set up a route, if you set up a park run route where people will try and achieve better and better times each time they go, then having a route that doesn't have very obvious bottlenecks. And I think that was kind of one of our issues with the course at Bath, which is a very, very scenic and beautiful one. But there are sharp corners, there are steps, there are this, that, and the other. It's very difficult. I know it must be like logistically really tricky to sort out a route for a park run. And I think we've got a better one than a lot, because lots of them are kind of very, very kind of twiddly and round and round and round kind of thing. So I think we've got a really lovely
one.
Ours
is one loop, isn't it? But it is also, it's not without hill. Well, it would kind of almost be better if it was like undulations, but it's one set of really steep steps halfway through, which is quite brutal.
Yeah. That's quite brutal. And I think there's just around the beginning and end of that, there are some very tight bends and corners and stuff. And so it means at the beginning, at the beginning, there are just some places at which you do get overtaken by people at the back with dogs and things like that, which has always been my aggravation. But
Agreed. Well, we've got a lot of support that generally feels along those same lines for Parkrun from lots of our pod squad. Catherine saying that she doesn't get the chance to do Parkrun as often as she would like to, but she would love to go more because she's never found it intimidating. She also weighs in on the original topic that I think we've strayed from because we got controversial in our views on Parkrun. But this all began because Ruby wrote in to tell us that somebody had said to her, like, get behind the line or whatever it was.
Yes. Oh my God.
Get behind the line. It was a bit of that energy that she received from a fellow participant. Catherine said, would I be mad if someone took me over in the line? Absolutely. But I'm pretty sure I wouldn't say anything, though I might be guilty of throwing a death stare. That was very similar.
Yes. Oh, classic Esther behavior. That's much more likely that I would do that. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no. Too embarrassing. I'd be like, oh, please. Sorry. Did I nearly stop you from taking me over? I'm so sorry. That would be me. But then we did have a little bit of Hol and Esther support here.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to throw Uli's response into the mix. Or Uli, maybe you would say. She's an Ulrika, isn't she? She said, I think it really depends on the park run. I have two I could go to, and in terms of crowds, they're very different. One of them has loads of runners with dogs, which I don't like, because I'm worried about running into one or being chased by one. Sounds like somebody I know. I don't run in that park or on non-park run days for that reason, as well as the ratio of dogs to humans is in favor of dogs there. But I don't find it overly friendly either around the start line and finish line, especially when on your own, as it's very cliquey. The volunteers on the course are, however, lovely. The other one is fairly new, just started 31 weeks ago, and it's a very young and speedy crowd, but only one dog so far. Because it's still new, it's a very lovely vibe, despite it being a speedy one. So I think that's the thing. it maybe it's not about the speed. Maybe it is about that slightly cliquey thing. We've all got various things that make us feel in some way a bit intimidated to join in on stuff. And that's life, isn't it? Especially when you're a grown-up, which has really surprised me. Because going to things as a grown-up is actually way more intimidating than going as a child or a teenager. No one talks to you. It took me like 6 months to make a friend in my choir. And I would say I'm quite a forthcoming person. But it's really hard to talk to people at stuff like that. And things can really feel cliquey. And really I think that's another very valid point. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I definitely, that is such a weird thing where you turn up to parkrun. And I have found our parkrun cliquey. And I've done it, I don't know, 14 or 15 times. But I guess because I've not done it like 14, 15 weeks on the trot. So I couldn't say for certain or anything like that. But you turn up and people do go in their groups. And I think I've kind of turned up and just thought, oh, I wish I was in one of those groups, and felt unable to join the group or say hello or whatever. So it gives me, you know, it's lovely to watch the other groups and to see their friendship and, you know, them having a really good time and stuff. But it does, that is quite sort of, it can feel very strange.
It can definitely be off-putting, I think, can't it? I'm going to give it one more in our favour, which I would like everybody to know is, I've made it 50-50 for the sake of this interesting podcast. However, it's not really. The majority of you out there completely disagreed and love going to parkrun, which, good, that's the answer that we wanted. I don't want people to feel intimidated by parkrun. We want people to want to go. It's a great thing. It's a free running event. But
exactly.
But, you know, it wouldn't be right if we didn't throw a bit of controversy in every so often. But Rach has said on Discord as well that she wanted to go against the grain and say that she doesn't like parkrun because she thinks that there are just too many people there who take it super seriously, and that she finds that it makes things feel less inclusive, which I think is what touched me originally about Ruby's email. That's sums up the sense where it's like, I think it's absolutely fine if you take it super seriously, that, you know, everybody is welcome in our little run squad, whether you are a, you know, sub 3 hour marathoner or whether you are like me. I think that it's not about, at the end of the day, it's not about time. It's not about, it shouldn't be about all of that stuff. It's just about whether you feel included in something for whatever reason could make you feel on the edge. And there are obviously people who feel parkrun doesn't quite serve what it could to them. But clearly a lot of people who are not feeling that way at all and who are loving it. So
yeah, absolutely. And do you know what's going to be really interesting when we speak to Anna next week? Because I think in the next week's episode, she does talk about parkrun. And she about does. using it through, or did she do it in this episode? We're using it through Christmas as a way in which you can do the training. I think that's the next episode, actually. Using it through Christmas and the New Year and kind of pinpointing those Saturdays, but also the kind of, they do some extra ones, don't they, parkrun? They do like ones on New Year's Day and Christmas Day occasionally.
It's a nice way to... I can definitely see it being, I mean, I'm kind of tempted because I'm probably not going to do it while we're in France for a bit, because it is the absolute arse end of nowhere, and I'm not sure that my French is strong enough to work out how to get to a parkrun there, but I'm kind of tempted to do it when we're in Wales for a bit, because I think I don't really have like I have a couple of like roads that I feel safe running down and stuff, but I don't really have like a 5K route there. It might be a really nice opportunity. So maybe I will try and go to some more park runs over the Christmas period, and then I can weigh in a bit more.
Yeah, we can completely change our tune by mid-January, we'll be like, parkrun's the best thing in the world. We love it.
We'll be like, don't ever come for parkrun. Don't ever speak about parkrun like that to people who don't like it.
Yeah.
keep letting us know your thoughts. We love it. That was kind of, because honestly, because so many of you guys emailed in, so many of you were chatting on the Discord chat, that really did just scratch the surface of the parkrun chatter. So a polls, if we haven't got round to your email, it may fit nicely into some other content in another episode, but don't let it put you off. Always send us your thoughts, because we love hearing it. We love it.
We really, really do. Absolutely love. And we will definitely read every single email that comes our way.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
We love them.
That's actually, I do want to say as well that there is the option, again, if you join Discord through Patreon, then I don't know if our Discord pod squadders know this, but there is the option to send a voice note. So if you ever want to send us anything with your lovely voice, rather than just written down, then we will definitely play it on the podcast. And we haven't asked Dave if we can do this. We're just spontaneously saying this now, yeah. But it will be fine.
It'll be fine. But in the meantime, I think the only thing that we've got left to say is have an amazing Christmas.
Oh my God, I completely forgot that this is the day that the Lord has made.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
Have a fabulous Christmas. Run if you want to. Don't if you don't. Eat if you want to. Like, you know, do what you want to do. Have the best time.
Hell, just yeah. We'll be going on to talk more about all of that next week as well, actually, won't we? How to survive the perineum of Christmas and New Year, along with all of that chatter about should you or shouldn't you run over Christmas time. Spoiler alert, the answer is going to be do whatever you want, as Esther just said, but Anna can talk you through the science of it. Happy Christmas, one and all.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.
God bless us, everyone, as Tiny Tim would say.
Aww, small hole.
Small hole with my little stick. Hopefully I won't die of dysentery this Christmas.
Please don't. Not this time. Not like last year.
No, not this time.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way, you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.